In a little break from format, we're discussing two different books on the exchange today rather than the usual one. Our reasons are thematic. Both of our books have a common thread: millennials. You know, those people that were born between roughly, 1980 and 2000? Mm-hmm. The ones who don't actually remember Aretha Franklin, but were among the first to download her music for free online. Like me, you might be one, or you might know quite a few. We're young people, and many of us struggled to land that first rent-paying job in the midst of a Great Recession. Or maybe you're on the other side of the generation gap, a baby boomer parent or even a grandparent with a millennial hanging around on your couch, unemployed, unmarried, and seemingly unmotivated to fend for themselves. This couch scenario and the tensions it breeds have become more and more common in American families, as our guests today will attest. They're here with us in the studio, and they say boomerang kids are taking a toll on their families, a toll that they've documented in the book, Whose Couch Is It Anyway? Moving Your Millennial. The authors are here with us. Both are coaches for women of the baby boomer generation primarily. And first, we'd like to welcome Dr. Phyllis Goldberg to the show. Welcome, Phyllis.
Thank you.
We also have Rosemary Lichtman, also a PhD. Dr. Rosemary Lichtman, thank you for coming in.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
So Whose Couch Is It Anyway? This topic of the grown kids coming home to roost. When did you first notice the increase in adults coming back to live with their parents?
Well, you mentioned the Great Recession, and that's when we first started noticing that a lot of kids were coming home, not just for spring break or summer vacation, but actually to stay because, as you mentioned, they maybe hadn't landed their first job or were having trouble making their rent payments.
And your book centers primarily on the mothers of the matriarchs of these families. Are you still treating the clients that and the families that you talk about in the book?
Well, I am still practicing, and I do see families and primarily the mothers. But in our work on the internet, we're open to seeing whoever is contacting us.
I ask because, for me, like I mentioned, I am a millennial. So hearing about this issue from the perspective of the other side of the generation gap was quite interesting. It did strike me, though, I've traveled a bit, and adult children or multi-generational households, maybe we should call it, they're more common in other countries. Why do you think this presents a unique stress for the families that you profile and Whose Couch Is It Anyway? Wait, maybe take this one, Phyllis.
Well, I don't think the stress is actually unique. I think, you know, in all cultures, having families together is stressful, and in the book we provide ways that families can help with this.
Sure. In a lot of cases, the families seem to enjoy the process, and so for families that are finding it a positive experience, it's important to talk about the positive aspects of it. But a lot of families are having difficulties in the United States, particularly when it comes into money issues, since the parents themselves have been going through their own money issues frequently. But we have found, as Phyllis mentioned, we've traveled also, and we found the subject has come up in different places we visited. I was just in Israel, and they were wanting to know how we were handling boomerang kids here in the United States, and I know Phyllis was just in Spain and met several boomerang kids herself. So it is something that you can't really paint it with a broad brush. But when there are issues, then there are things that can be done to help the families in general.
And so I imagine it's a real privilege to be able to have a home anywhere, mm-hmm. especially be able to go back to a home. When we talk about the more stressful side or the things that people might confide in therapy about what's going on with their families, how did the millennials that are coming home, these boomerang kids, as you call them, differ from their parents in their habits or once they were sharing the household again after college or after high school?
So part of that is the kids have been gone for 4 years and they left a home where the mom was, you know, the primary caretaker. They've had the experiences of college, both the responsibilities and the independence. And coming home, neither of neither the parents nor the children want that role again, but sometimes it's really easy to slip into it. The kids might want, you know, dinner on the table at 6 and their laundry washed, and moms have had some independence and, you know, are maybe following their own passions and dreams. So, you know, it's kind of a push-pull for both of the generations.
It's interesting. So with that getting out of the house, people don't know how to act anymore towards one another? Their relationships are defined like they used to be?
Well, I think the roles certainly, you know, they can go back to the old ways, but many want, you know, new freedoms, new responsibilities, new ideas to fester. And certainly parents, you know, can respond to that. We talk about family meetings where the family can sit down and set some new goals and try to work to toward new ideas that can be helpful to everybody.
In writing this book, the perspectives of the mothers and the matriarch, the sort of the boomer generation viewpoint, is in here. Did you spend much time with the kids themselves? And they're not kids anymore, but with the grown kids?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we, you know, hear the perspective of the emerging adults, as we like to call them. But we have focused more on the parents themselves and how it's affecting them. But certainly for people who are returning home, they have very strong feelings about things that they want. They want to be able to have their own privacy, and they want to be treated with respect by their parents because they have become adults in a sense. And it's a very touchy situation for a lot of the, another term people use sometimes are cadults. And it's a little touchy for them because there's, again, the need to be acting as an adult, and then there's also the fact that they're not, they're delaying some of their adulthood, kind of the specific things that usually people do when they become adult, like getting married, having kids, buying a house, buying a car. Those things are delayed nowadays compared to what they had been 30 years ago.
But they're delayed because of the economy often. I mean, it's not like a bad thing. You know, the jobs aren't plentiful, and when they get them, they're not necessarily high paying, so they can't afford those kinds of luxuries. And, you know, they want to move toward them. Certainly the parents want them to move toward greater autonomy, and that's part of the struggle and the gift in some ways, actually, of the families working together again.
And is that something that happened with families you worked with where this struggle became a gift?
Well, there's certainly, you know, with any challenge, there are gifts, the ability to kind of grow the relationship in a different way, and the kids helping out at home, you know, where the parents didn't have that before. But the struggles also can be very challenging.
And what we found is actually it's more likely to enjoy the gift if there have been preparation ahead of time. Families that know that their kids are coming back home, that make plans ahead of time, and as Phyllis mentioned, set up family meetings, set realistic expectations, then you're able to settle in and enjoy the fact that your kids are around and the kids can mm-hmm. enjoy the fact that they're seeing their parents as adults, not just as parents. So we really feel that there are some things that can be done ahead of time which will help.
We're talking with Rosemary Lichtman and Phyllis Goldman. They are the authors of a book called Whose Couch Is It Anyway? Moving Your Millennial. They'll be presenting on that book at the Ashland Public Library on Saturday. That's tomorrow at 4 p.m. We'd love to get some calls in here before the end of the hour. Our phone number is 800-838-3760. Or email us your thoughts about millennials moving home with their parents at jx@jeffnet.org. Now, Rosemary, you were just talking about, you mentioned the word kidult, which comes up in your book. Can you talk to me about the difference between an adult and a kidult?
Well, a kidult is still a little bit stuck in the enjoyment of youth and sometimes is able to focus more on kind of the fun things of life rather than taking on some of the more serious aspects of adulthood. But it's a term that sometimes has pejorative
Yeah, aspects. I have a note here. Is it a touch dismissive?
Yeah, I was going to say it has taken on that tone, but when we use it in the book, it's really more of a shorthand for somebody who is on this stage where they're moving from more of a advanced childhood to an emerging adult. So we don't mean it in a pejorative way, even though it has taken on some of that tone in other places.
In any generation, and as millennials, there's like over 80 million of them. You know, it's a broad, there's a lot of different kinds of people in it. And, you know, many of them are struggling to get ahead. And, you know, it's important in the book we talk about how that can happen with the families.
And, you know, when you do have a multi-generational household like this, you mentioned a moment ago, Rosemary, that preparations can be made to sort of grease the wheels there and, mm-hmm. and alleviate these tensions before they arise. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. There's one family I'm thinking of particularly that came up with a wonderful mnemonic, sort of. They use the idea of CC&Rs, which people who've ever lived in a condo know that those are usually stands for covenants, somethings, and restrictions. But in our case, the C stands for communication, because that is the most important part about living together. The second C really we use for cooperation and also compromise. And the R is respect, which I mentioned a little bit earlier. Because when you take those three things into account, and then even instead of doing a rules and regs, you can sign a contract and put things in writing about what the expectations are and how you're going to communicate and how you're going to respect each other and whether you knock on each other's door before you enter or whether there's a certain place in the refrigerator where the adult child could put their food and other places where the parents could, just so that in general you know the expectations on both sides and everybody agrees on them.
And have you had clients actually draw up a written contract with their kids?
Definitely.
How would that read? Did you help them write it?
Well, I mean, it's a cooperative effort where both, you know, in any negotiation, both sides have to have their, you know, some of what they need gratified. And yes, we do work together, you know, with that.
Did you struggle with any parents, or did you counsel any parents who had a very "this is my house, these are my rules" mm-hmm. attitude, and mm-hmm. and how did that play out in their lives? Mm-hmm.
Just like there's all kinds of millennials, there's all kinds of parents, too. And, yes, we work toward, you know, better communication, strategies for conflict resolution, and how to move towards the center so that everybody, you know, has a win-win. They get some of what they need.
You know, it's a growing experience for the parents as well as for the adults to be able to mm-hmm. learn how to live together again.
And now the subtitle of your book, the title, "Whose Couch Is It Anyway?" And then the subtitle, "Moving Your Millennial," I guess that leads me to assume the book was mm-hmm. written for the older generation to figure out how mm-hmm. to get rid of these boomerang kids.
Well, not necessarily get rid of them, but help them move along. Uh-huh. Not necessarily move out, but have a plan for moving out.
Because that's everybody's goal. I think ultimately, you know, being an adult, even, you know, the millennials too, they want to have goals that will make them more independent and autonomous. They want jobs. You know, they want to be responsible for themselves. They want to be adults. And they're, you know, moving along to that.
And so what kinds of specific practical advice, without spoiling too much of what's in the book, did you give people to help facilitate that? Maybe either one of you wants to take this.
Well, I would say the main thing is communication, is really having honest communication back and forth, and trust, where each one of the sides trusts that the other person has their best interests mm-hmm. at heart and is working together to get to where the mm-hmm. same goal is.
And respect. I mean, respect that, you know, we all have our own needs and desires and responsibilities. The roles are drastically changing in a multi-generational family, because what we were and what we did is different, at least in the home, and needing to respect and communicate about what those changes are.
And this may be a whole new social norm of living together with families again. So it's set them things that for multi-generational parents are moving back, you know, older people are moving back. It's going right. on in a lot of right. places. So the concept of how to make it work is something that's really important right. for any generation.
It's been called a cultural shift, in fact, you know, where builders are building multi-generational homes so that it can accommodate, you know, the changes.
I started out the interview asking you if you'd kept in touch with the clients that become the sort of case studies in your book, because I'm curious. We're talking about a time, things haven't completely turned around, but we are in a different place, I think, 2015 versus 2007. As a job seeker, you know, as part of this generation mm-hmm. we're talking about, I feel that, I see that in mm-hmm. my daily opportunities. How have things changed for the five families that we talk about in this book?
Well, the families are, you know, being therapists, we respect the confidentiality, so they aren't real families as much as a combination of people that we've treated in the past. And yes, you're right, things have changed. The older millennials are older. The economy is different. Many are getting jobs, and
their younger siblings aren't just taking their spot on the couch.
Not necessarily, and people are, you know, working towards moving out, and it has been changing. But yeah, younger people are moving in because of the way our society is, and it's not a bad thing, you know, for many families. It's been very positive.
Rosemary, you have something to add?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, you're right in that the very youngest graduates now are getting jobs more readily than had been the case, you know, 8-10 years ago. But the older ones are still sometimes underemployed, and so they're still having some of the problems that the younger ones are able to move forward better with.
And with the cultural shift in ways, the embarrassment or the shame has been minimized, and it's not a bad thing. I mean, some kids come home because they want to save for a house. They want to, you know, save money to go into a different job that might be more their passion. And so they're very positive reasons why staying home is a good thing.
Yeah, very interesting perspectives here on, as you describe it, a cultural shift of older children coming home, having multi-generational households. I want to thank you, Phyllis Goldman. And Phyllis, thank you for being
Goldberg.
Here. Goldberg.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm so
That's
sorry.
That's okay.
Phyllis
uh-huh.
Goldberg and Rosemary Lichtman.
Thank you very
much.
Thank
you for
thank you for
us.
Being on the show.